closer to me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? You can't hear me back there? Oh, okay.
They should move forward.
We're good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to make sure we had a recording.
Now then, Lieutenant, motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
I'll be as motion carried. We had the minutes of December the 1st. Any questions, concerns, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters where organizations are thanking County Council for their support and donations. First is the Mental Health Association in Delaware, then the Delmarva Clergy United in Social Action Foundation, the Boys and Girls Club of Clubs of Delaware, Delaware Housing Coalition, the Cancer Support Community, Clothing Our Kids, Cadbury Senior Lifestyle in Lewis, the Indian River Senior Center, Inc., the Bridgeville Senior Center, and the Delaware Guidance Services for Children and Youth, Inc. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Public comments, Mr. Guy, anybody signed up? Thank you, sir. Kevin E. Watson? Sure. We'll hand these out.
Good morning, Council. You know, there's many people that's been submissive, humble, and obedient to your humane way that you rule with iron fists. And the nature of me being here today is that I can't find a job. I'm a lifelong resident here in Sussex County. I can't find a job. I took the proper steps in advertising, submitting resumes, and over the last 2 years, I have not found one job with the education that I have. You know, I just wanted to present that to somebody because I thought that that would be ironic, you know, that certain places such as Lingo Realtor wouldn't give a guy like me an opportunity to make sure that I'm applying the principles and the tools that I've learned due to teaching at Penn Foster Career School, you know, and I just figured I'd just reach out to the county council and express my concerns as a lifelong residency here in Sussex County and just hope for an opportunity to get a job or something.
Could you give us your name and address for the record too, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Kevin E. LaRon Watson. I currently reside at 28543 West Springside Drive, Milton, Delaware.
Thank you.
Right. Keep in touch with our website. We post jobs there all the time.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm familiar with it, right?
Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I thank you very much for coming. I think it's very important that you came here and let us know about the issue. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Check our website. We do post jobs.
Would that be the Sussex?
Sussex County website, yeah. DE.gov.
Okay.
Sussex. www. Whatever. Sussex County.
Sussex County DE.gov. All one. Yeah.
And okay. Touch base while you're here. Why don't you go to the where the
HR department. Human
HR
resources.
Up, ask out front there where the HR department is. Go up there, and they got applications and different things, and they post jobs up there, and at least. Open up some lines of communication with those people.
Yes, sir.
Show them what you can do.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being
day.
Here.
Paul Rieger.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you.
You're keeping us busy.
Yes.
Be careful, don't get hurt up here.
Don't mess up our technology.
Good morning, Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Is what I just gave you is two pictures. One is from the Sussex County mapping system, which is an old picture, I guess, from Google. The second one is a new Google picture of my neighbor's property. As I've been discussing for a while now, the different zoning codes. The two that you have, the first one from the county with the old one shows the size of the pond that's off to the side of his house, which is close to my property line. The second one, I assume, was done when I was on vacation this summer. So, and I have, honestly, I haven't been paying attention the last 6 months for what's new or what's this, just letting everything ride its course. But if you look at the second one, the size of that pond has increased. And I mean, his house is a monster house. So if you put in perspective, they're just not little casual fish pond or whatever somebody would put on the side of their house. It should be classified anything that I've seen as a farm pond. Everything that I've read considering, I believe it should be a special use and have to go to Board of Adjustments for approval on that. At what point does something become where it has to go into the code and enforced? Does it grow another 2,500 square feet? Does it grow another 3,000 square feet? Where is the stopgap for what you need a permit for, a special use for, and that? If it anything else for different sizes, yes, it goes overboard. A person's right for their property is their own right. But when you keep having it interfere with the neighbors, you're not interfering on a person's rights when they're interfering with other people and more neighbors. But that, if you look at the size of it and you look at the swimming pool in the back, that's not a little 24-foot round swimming pool. It's bigger than that. So you just put them and put three pitcher pools in there. And the reason that it all came together was the fact with the front drainage thing that he did for the pigs a few years ago, I couldn't figure out why we were filling that up this recently, flooding that and flooding out part of his front yard at the same time. I understand why, because of the second Google Earth picture shows how big the pond has expanded. Keep things simple. What should be right on a property, the amounts should all be a little bit controlled. The other thing is I had soil conservation come out last week to fix it. They said something that I got a rough estimate. They said probably about $12,000 to put a drainage pipe to go from my lot, the neighbor's lot, to the third lot in, which was like $12,000. I do not figure out why the county, for something that they can enforce, should have been a special use, could cause me to go to the soil conservation, ask to use part of their for them to cost share it, put up whatever money they did. If it costs $6,000, if the county, does the county want to use cost share money, $6,000 from that, and then have me and my other neighbors come up with other funds? Those are approximate numbers to put the correct pipe in. And it's still coming out of county funds. Somebody can use that to fix a drainage problem that's caused by nature, not caused by a resident. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, everybody wants to complain about traffic. Well, I'll tell you what, we don't have a traffic problem. None at all. Oh, but we have backups. Yeah, 404 is closed completely. So they bypassed it. And guess what? I would have thought that the day before Thanksgiving would have been a real problem. It's no big deal. But then comes Friday. In Greenwood, they had a backup of over a mile. Big deal. So it happens. So what do? Well, you go a different direction if you know where you're at. Of course, guess what? I love it that all this traffic comes in here. Because the more overpasses you make, the faster they're going to get into Rehoboth, and the faster they're going to have traffic jams in there, and the faster they're going to go off the road and they're going to buy something. So the more the merrier. The only problem I have, I can't ask questions today, but I can ask one question. I want to know why the highway department is taking land and not paying for it. What do you mean they're not paying for it? Well, you go ahead and you survey your land, and then you ask for an entrance and see how much land they're going to tell you got to give us, or we won't give you that entrance. That's taking. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business on today's agenda is an update and presentation by Secretary Jennifer Cohen, Secretary of DLDOT. Ms. Cohen, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Come down, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, guys. I'm happy to be in front of you guys once again. We were here a few months back and had a great conversation, and you gave the department some marching orders to go back and work, have our planning folks work with the county planning folks, and that has been very successful, so we're happy to be back in front of you. I have with me our director of planning, Drew Boyce, who is going to help me with this presentation. So again, thank you very much for working with us over the last few months. Are we both doing this? I got it. So one of the things that we talked about last time that I wanted to give you more of a visual overview is some of the projects that we're working on in Kent and Sussex County that directly impact traffic flow. We went over some of the high-level projects, but I thought it would be a better idea for you guys just to actually see the flow. So we know basically the main corridors where traffic and goods are flowing, and it's, of course, as you can imagine, the 95 corridor as well as the Route 1 going down into to the resort areas. So the main choke points or the main points of people coming into our state, of course, 95 down Route 1, of course, the 5301 coming through, a few coming through over on the ferry, and then again down at the resort area. So we really have been focusing on where people are coming and going and the routes that they're choosing to utilize. So again, we're looking at a corridor overview, and we know that these are the existing controlled access pathways. So what we are looking to do is to continue that. We did a corridor capacity study that really shows that we need to work on these areas. And then as you can see, we're the yellow is us trying to work on limited access. The top yellow part is the upcoming 301 project. And then as you can see, the yellow parts going down Route 1 and 13 are what we are working on as we speak now in Sussex County. So I wanted to kind of go over that with you and just kind of the strategy. Again, in the late 90s, we had a corridor capacity preservation program, which indicated that we needed to work on this corridor. We've done a significant amount of work on the interchanges in this area already. As you know, the SR-9 at Dover Air Force Base has been completed. Little Heaven is actually under construction now. North Fred is completed. South Fred, the bids for that are going to be opened up next week, so we're looking to go to construction on that in the spring. Same with Thompsonville Road is under construction now. Northeast Front Street is in right-of-way purchase, which should probably take a year or two to get that complete. And then SR1 and SR5 and SR1 and 16, these are the interchanges that we're working on and have been planning to do. I just thought it would be a better visual for you to see the progress that we're making and the areas that we're going towards. And then, again, a little more zoomed in, some of the things that we're working on, SR1 and Cave Neck, we have some design money for fiscal year 18 to start working on that. New Road Connector and Old Orchard, both of those were added into our 17 through 22 CTP, which we're looking to move forward on those as well. Actually, the public speaker had an excellent point with the interchanges getting people to the beach quicker. So we have 5 points, SR1 and 5 points, as the next focal point. We do have a engineering firm that is working on some design and high-level alternatives for us right now because, as the speaker said, he's exactly right. We need to make sure that we're moving. Yeah, exactly. Mrs. Deaver, I did the same thing. I actually went cha-ching in my head. Right. Yeah. But we do. We need to be planning for that in parallel as we're doing all these interchange improvements. So also along Route 113, all of these grade separated interchanges are planning to go into construction on the fiscal year 21. I actually put those in there for Mr. Wilson, and we wish him a speedy recovery because he was raking me over the coals a little bit last time about, you know, additional work on this area and then again on the Route 9 corridor. So US 9 and SR5, again, that's currently in right-of-way acquisition with construction beginning in 18. So we are also working on these corridors as well. And 24, which you guys all know, Mulberry is currently in right-of-way acquisition with construction beginning in fiscal year 18. And both Love Creek and Camp Arrow are actually scheduled to go to construction in fiscal year 20. So we are, you know, in conjunction working on all of these points together. So the main topic of conversation today is the transportation improvement districts. We floated this idea to council several months ago, and like I said, both of our staffs have been working very diligently together to come up with some ideas. But again, how can the TIDs help the traffic congestion in this area? We can, you know, the main thing is linking land use and transportation. Again, we need to be in sync with all of the activities going around in Sussex County regarding development and traffic flow. It provides a comprehensive planning for specific areas, especially areas identified as fast developing. And two of the main things that I really wanted to drive home is that it provides the public with a clear vision of exactly what the future is going to look like and where it is going to be, which is extremely important. And it also provides the developers with a more predictable process, predictable fees, as well as it gives us the ability to plan and make sure the infrastructure is in place to be able to deal with the development coming in. So again, two of those main points: public clear vision, developers clear vision, so everybody knows exactly what is happening. So this is what we've come up with. This is a map of potential transportation improvement districts for Sussex County. Again, we've worked with county staff. These are just the areas of focus that we think that would make for good transportation improvement districts. Of course, they are subject to change, but council kind of directed the department to come back with some recommendations. So these are the six areas that we recommend that the county take a look at. And then for starters, which I'm sure is no surprise to anybody, we're recommending that to get started down this process, that we look at the Lewis and Rehoboth areas for the first transportation improvement district in the county. Just because we're recommending this to get started with doesn't mean that we can't have the other transportation improvement districts working in parallel while we're focusing on this area. But I think the council will agree that this is an area of tremendous growth development potential. And again, by choosing that area, it is consistent with the county's existing comprehensive plan. We know that the area is going to see growth. It's seeing growth now, and there's more coming. And then it would benefit from a comprehensive land use and transportation planning together. And I think this is something that the department feels strongly about. So that's our recommendation for where to start. So going through the next steps, what do we do next? Assuming, and I'm sure we'll have some dialogue about that, if the county is in concurrence with the recommendation, we'll need to instruct our staff to continue working together on the initial agreement for the boundaries. Again, you know, we choose natural geographical boundaries, but that doesn't mean that we can't work with county council and staff to adjust that if necessary. The county projects... I'm going to have Drew's take over from here, and then we're going to go through what the next steps are, how it will actually work, the fee structure, and then a couple of successful TIDs. You okay?
Great, yes.
You want my notes?
Yeah, I'll work from those. Appreciate that. So really the next step is to start drafting this initial agreement. Now, the agreement contains a lot of things in it. We asked the county to start, once we define the geographical area, the county is responsible for kind of looking into the future and determining what you would like to see that area to grow up. In order for us to do a transportation assessment on what the future would look like, we need to know what the land use would look like. And that's really just population and where we can get some trip generations from that from those anticipated land uses. Those can be fairly broad, but we need them specific enough that we can do a good assessment on what the transportation system is going to grow up. DLDOT's responsibility is to assess the existing inventory, so we will, whatever geographic areas is determined, we'll go out and do basically a mega TIS. You guys are familiar with traffic impact studies. We'll be looking at every intersection within the geographical area. We will build a background traffic model and then project those new trips for projected growth onto the system to see where there's deficiencies. We also work with the county to determine horizon year. We need to do those traffic projections to a year. Typically, that's going to be much longer than we look at in a normal TIS. Normal TIS, we're looking just 4 or 5 years into the future. This is going to be a 20 or 25-year look into the future. Gives us a good assessment of basically what could potentially come. And then based on all that, we determine what that transportation system needs to grow up to be able to support the land use that that the county would like to see in that particular area. Through this entire process, the county is engaged. You get to review and approve. It's the way our regulation is set up is that this is a tool for the land use agency to partner with the department in order to do this more comprehensive land use transportation planning. It's great timing because the county is in the process of updating their comprehensive plan. Part of our regulation says that the TIDs have to be identified in the comprehensive plan. So it's really perfect timing on both accounts. So when we look at how this this could potentially play out if we go through this what-if scenario, once the agreement is signed and the traffic improvements are identified, land use then proceeds if it's contemplated in accordance with the agreement. So the land use that the county's identified, if in fact that that parcel develops consistent with that plan, then they would pay a fee and proceed. So developer would pay a fee to proceed. So I'll touch on the fee structure in just a second, but they would pay a fee and proceed. Now DLDOT's responsibility is that we would continue to monitor the health of the transportation system. So the goal is to implement transportation improvements consistent with the pace of development. So we're trying to kind of come across the finish line at the same time. So we would, in order to provide the public some certainties, we would provide in the agreement some type of monitoring program. So we would work with the county to say, how often do we want to come back in and kind of refresh the traffic impact study? So we would come back in, get new counts, figure out, you know, where we are on the health. That could be every 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. We would determine, based on the pace of growth, what was appropriate for the traffic, for the TID. What those intermittent studies will do is they'll tell us, okay, these are the projects, these are the areas that we're seeing some need for improvement. And so those would be then move forward into DLDOT's 6-year capital program. So the county's role would be to include those on your annual request for the department. Within our prioritization process, we actually give a bump up for projects that are located within a TID. So in our prioritization scoring, you actually, those projects do get a little bump up for importance. And so in the case, to the third point, in the case where the pace of our capital project is not quite consistent with the pace of development, say they were moving quicker, we're having to go through a more robust project development to get our larger capital project in place. There are provisions where a developer could come in and just do some safety improvements, typically at their entrance, left turns, right turns. They would be eligible for recoupment agreements, so they could, instead of making a fee payment, they could pay us in asphalt and concrete. That works if, in fact, we can utilize that in the overall design.
I wish we had that now. Safer.
We wish access. You had that now too.
And so that's kind of how this would play out. Development pays a fee, and so when we look at that fee structure, basically, again, this is an agreement between the DLDOT and the county as well. When we determine the total costs of what all these improvements are going to need to be in order to support the development, we look at the potential growth in the area and determine either a price per square foot, price per unit that is appropriate for basically for the economic conditions that exist in the area. We know that as a public agency, we're at the table with money as well. There's background traffic and other things that's on the system that's going to benefit from the improvement. We realize that, so we're at the table with public dollars to leverage leverage the developers' fee contribution in order to implement a more holistic transportation improvement. Again, the county gets to review and approve these. Public involvement is very critical through the whole process, and there are a lot of opportunities for the public to be engaged, not only the general public, but also those folks whose properties are going to be within the transportation improvement district. And so there are our regulations call for a public process that reviews the boundary, that reviews the terms of the agreement, kind of what the county and DLDOT are agreeing would be the best approach and best fit for this area, proposed population and employment parcels, level of service standards. There may be a desire for the county to say that a little bit of congestion here is okay, maybe not. And so that really is all vetted out in the agreement. And then the future road improvements, obviously, that will go through a full public process. So we want to engage the public throughout the entire process. Wanted to talk a little bit about some successful TIDs that we've implemented. These give you two examples. One is in Westtown, which is on the west side of Middletown. It's in a municipal boundary. So they annexed the whole a pretty large acreage of area. From Newcastle County into the town of Middletown, called Westtown. So this is a TID that's managed on the municipal side. They did an update on their comprehensive plan. We've got 29 developments total that are incorporated in the TID graphical boundary. $40 million worth of roadway improvements. So this isn't sewer and water that are also needed to support the growth and development, but this is just on the transportation side. To date, we've expended almost $30 million, and we have a balance of $10 million of small local road improvements that still need to be done. So here's just a graphic, and what you can see is that in this master planning effort, they identified institutional uses, educational uses, where they wanted to see high-density residential, where they wanted to see commercial and other efforts, where their open space was going to be. And so they did a very good comprehensive. They created a grid network. So they included roads that weren't on an existing system. Because they knew they needed to distribute this traffic to be able to anticipate the growth that they had. So we planned corridors within the municipal boundary. And so a lot of those roads are already built. Good success story here with Middletown is that when Amazon, both Johnson Controls and Amazon, were looking for a place to come in Delaware, what drew them to Middletown was the fact that it was a very predictable environment that they were entering into. The traffic study was already done. They knew what their financial obligation was going to be. The infrastructure, the road infrastructure, had already been built. So that was we were a little bit out ahead, and so all of those things created a great environment for them to say, yes, this is where we want to be, and it's been a huge success for Middletown, landing the Amazon distribution center and the Johnson Controls. The other one is a little bit newer. This one is in Newcastle County, so this is outside of a municipal boundary. Again, they updated their comprehensive plan. We have 28 total developments in southern Newcastle County, $80 million worth of transportation infrastructure. Expended to date, $7 million. So this is, obviously there's a lot of roads that still have to be improved. You can see that this is a fairly large area. It goes from the canal all the way down to the north side of Middletown, from 13 all the way over to 896. And so just an incredible amount of investment. In this particular investment, the fee structures split 50-50. So the development community is bearing $40 million of the infrastructure costs, and DelDOT's coming to the table with the other $40
million. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that varies.
That does vary. In Middletown, what we elected to do, because that was a level one development area, municipal boundary, we did a 70-30 split, where DelDOT was at the table for 70% of the funding for the $40 million, and the development community came to the table with $30 million. And it really depends on the market value. Those improvements were, because they were more urban, were a lot more expensive. And so when you look at the price per unit, we're still creating some parity between Middletown and Southern Newcastle County. So when you look at the costs to develop, it's still very similar. So we look hard at that to try to create and make sure that there is equity, looking at the private side and their ability to compete and do business, and because we really want these improvement districts to be appealing for people to come in. So if you come in, you develop consistent with the plan, then you pay and you go. And then DelDOT comes through on the backside or consistent with you and make sure that the transportation is there to be able to support the proposed development. So $80 million in Sussex, in Southern Newcastle County, a lot of roads that were once just farmlands. When we did the comprehensive plan, we worked with the Department of Education. We worked with all three surrounding municipalities. We did a lot of comprehensive planning, so we were able to site a school within this TID. We were able to site a whole lot of public amenities. We're going to have a YMCA coming here and just a potential library. So all of that was because of the master planning effort, we were able to kind of comprehensively look at that and site those appropriately within the Transportation Improvement District. So
what level of service was this area?
So this is a so state strategies. This was a level two. Again,
so level one was Middletown.
Level one was Middletown. This is development, and a level two was, we used that in part of our decision making for determining the ratio of public investment. Yes. And so those are, hopefully that gives you a better understanding as we continue the dialogue, and we're excited about
That's his excited face.
Yeah.
This is my excited face.
So we are excited. I mean, it is, I can tell you that it's a huge amount of work. It's a huge amount of work on our part. I mean, building the models are not easy. Doing this comprehensive approach is not easy. A lot of resources have to go into it, but we think that the benefits definitely outweigh the cost of that investment. And so we're excited about continuing to work with you.
Yep, absolutely. And again, it's the known. The public will know exactly what's coming and where it's coming. The developers, some of the questions that we get, well, are the developers going to be happy that they have to pay? And the answer is yes, because they'll know exactly what they have to pay and when and how they have to do it and under what circumstances. So the known for them is also great. The other thing that we're working on down here is the increased need for public transportation. So that is something also that would be covered in the Transportation Improvement District, is something that we can plan for faster. So, questions?
Well, we'll start. Mrs. Dean, you have any questions? We'll just work this way.
I don't know anything. I don't know how to plan. I was wondering if somebody's property is going to get downzoned in this process. I think about that a lot because I'd like us to have, flexibility. Because as you know, everything's AR1. And when that really leaves a lot of wide open, and I don't think I would like to see that closed down. Is that necessary? Is that what we have to do?
That would be up to the council.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I like everything to be well planned, and it would be wonderful if people really kind of knew what was coming. But as I say, I'm not a planner. And this bottom line to all this, I mean, I have to assume we're looking at this because the county approves things and then expects you to catch up. I mean, that's what my experience is here. I haven't been here that long. 7 years. And, I mean, it looks to me like that is the issue.
What we want to make smart transportation and infrastructure investments, and we...
in a positive way.
Yeah.
We can't have that. Yeah, okay. So I'm just asking questions because it's new to me. I like to see us plan, and I have no idea how it gets done.
Well, I mean, our point of being here is to, we need to work together to make things better down here, and that's exactly what we're trying to do, and we believe that this is the tool to be able to start doing much more of that and much quicker. Again, it's a tremendous obligation from, you know, the department standpoint, because, you know, we will be on the hook for whatever the end ratio would be. And a ton of staff time as well. I mean, they've been working very, very hard to get us where we are to this point.
We are very flexible in that the market goes up and goes down, and there are times when nobody's interested in building developments on a certain road. I don't know, Beaver Dam Road, you know, and all of a sudden now it's blooming. We have to have some flexibility there. So I'm hoping that would be built into it.
I'm sure it could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's certainly. The agreement, again, it's your agreement.
The whole idea is for us to work together.
That's it. That's the one.
So that's a unique thought, but
yeah, that was
Cole, your next.
I think I gleaned from Joan's questioning something that's similar to my question, which was basically market forces versus a fixed plan. And I always think planning is so difficult because something like this takes, 20 years? Or more.
And again, that is up to council. If you want to go 20 years, 25 years, 10 years,
whatever the years are, I mean, it just things. And again, down here with the changing trends and different things, I know that all these smart growth people like everybody to live in little small pieces of ground and, you know, a lot of multifamily stuff. In general, most of the people don't want that and they want something else. But so we plan for something and it ends up being something else. And so are these TIDs flexible? And that was basically, and how flexible, and we'll maybe learn in the future, but that would be the concern. How nimble could you be? Because we may change, and then we're allowed to change our map, you know, through a public hearing process.
And so the TID would be consistent with those changes.
TID every time we would change a zone of something like that?
Well, what we would want to do is at least cast the best of our ability, whatever we would like to see, you know, the future of that to grow up. We understand that market conditions vary, types of land use, industry, you know, things aren't exactly the way that we may envision them in our crystal ball when reality comes. And so the example of Middletown is that particular, you know, when Amazon wanted to come in, that property was actually slated for something different. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to, through their municipal code, to be able to quickly react to the proposal, change it up. We were able to do one of those monitoring updates, you know, just to make sure that everything was going to continue to work the way that we had anticipated it. We did that, and lo and behold, you know, we both came across the finish line at the same time. So that's an example of the flexibility.
If we change, you're able to change also. So, or if you change, or,
yes.
You know, whatever.
Please understand, the agreement is your agreement with the department. Yeah. It is a land use, you know, agreement with a transportation component that, you know, and will be it can be as nimble as you want it to be.
No,
but the beauty of it.
People change here, and the philosophy of my philosophy versus, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, it could be entirely different. So, okay. So.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes, sir. Again, I want to thank you all for being here. I think it's super important that we, you know, have better communications, as we have talked about in the past. And I really do appreciate the opportunity to have you share. I think it's important. You know, that we be in much better communication with our counterparts at the state level, because you do greatly impact our quality of life here in this county, as you know, and the residents of the county. And so I again want to commend you, because I do believe sincerely that you are part of the solution, not part of the problem. I really do. And so I've been to several of your presentations, as you know, up and down, and again, I'm liking what I'm hearing. I don't know all the details as of yet. First question I would have is, do we have the ability to receive this slideshow? Do we have the opportunity? You have that?
We have.
Okay, perfect. Because therefore I have the ability to kind of really review more in detail. So a couple of questions, a couple of thoughts. and that I had wrote down as you were sharing, and that would be the TIDs in general. Is this really the ability to focus and allocate the costs from within the TID? In other words, the expenses that are created from within the TID will be paid from within the TID.
That is correct. So when we develop the...
On the developer side, yeah.
Yeah, when we develop the transportation improvement plan that supports the TID, most of the improvements will be within that geographical boundary. We do have a kind of what we call an area of influence that does go just outside, but not very far outside. So, the bulk of the funding that is collected is going to go to, you can say all of it's going to go to transportation improvements that are going to support the growth that's happening in the TID.
Okay. I just, versus generic incomes and generic expenses out there, there's a focus, I presume, mm-hmm. here. And more, therefore, also the ability to be accountable and also be more transparent in what's going on within that TID for everybody involved, be it the general public and all the entities involved. And, this is kind of a bigger picture, and there's a new governor going to happen next year. Well, we don't know who as of yet, but the reality is, as there's going to be perhaps some new council members, there's three up for re-election this next year, and, we have a new governor coming in. So my point, though, is as Councilman Cole already alluded, things change. Leadership changes. And we would like to see you continue on. Who knows what the new one will choose. But
I've been getting a lot of that lately.
but the reality is that I don't think there's been a lack of planning and studies over the years in Delaware. I don't think that to be the case. I mean, I've seen land use plans or road plans going back as early 70s. The issue is not so much of the planning. The issue, as I see it, and we have had this discussion, is the implementation of these plans. And, Route 26 is now finally being widened 25 years later. Once the shovel was put in the ground, the plan was already outdated. But it's more so the implementation of the plans versus the plans themselves. So could you address that a little bit? I mean,
sure.
the bigger picture, because as leadership and people change, how will that affect us?
I think that is an excellent point, and I think we're feeling that statewide. But I will tell you, the unknown of what is going to happen next, who's going to be sitting where next, is not a reason to not push as hard as we can to continue this process. Because while I agree somewhat on the, actual implementation, a lot of that was based on revenue. The good news is both on the federal side and the state side, we're in a good place, and we'll be in a good place at least for the next 6 years, which is fantastic. So we're going to be moving more work than, we've done in probably a decade. And the second thing is, this is the right thing to do. Whether I'm sitting here next year or, whoever the governor is or whoever's sitting behind, your nameplates is that this is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for Sussex County. It's the right thing to do for transportation infrastructure in the state. And, I, for one, have gotten, the green light from my governor to go as hard and fast to get as much done as we possibly can and put things on a path that there's going to be so much momentum and so much positive coming out of it that it would be ludicrous for either side to change. Well, that sounded good, didn't it?
The recorder is running.
I mean, that's truly how we feel.
Sure. Well, I know there'll be a lot more questions as we continue with the efforts here. But again, thank you for both of you for being here today. Appreciate it.
Any more questions of council?
No, I'd just like to say Route 26 seems to be doing very nice. It's coming together. And we now see what, some of the improved areas, because they've kind of jumped all over the place. But now it's all kind of coming together, most people want. I don't think there's that many complaints.
No, good.
My perception is.
Good.
It looks good.
Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I keep thinking about what I was hoping we would do, but we haven't done it, and that would be for us to have limits. Say we approve 500 homes, we have to be able to say there's this much service, and if we can't get that much service from Delta, we have to cut back. In other words, like an adequate facilities. So we're not doing that. So if this sounds like you're trying to work something because we're not doing that. we could set our own limits in that. That we could always
Absolutely.
Change how many kind of what kind of level of service we need or want. Right. But it looks like maybe we could accomplish that with this plan.
You could.
Anything else, Council? Anybody?
Well, Mr. President, if I may, we need marching orders from this council. We need to know where you're at, where you want us to go next, and is this something that, you know, are we going to continue down this path with the recommended proposed TID first? What is it? What's the will of council? What would you like to direct the department to do?
Well, I got an idea, Mike.
Nicole.
Maybe she ought to march back to Dover, and we'll think about it, because I don't know if I'm ready to give you an answer right now.
You wanted a marching orders. I was trying
to
help.
I got heels on. I don't want to march all the way to Dover.
I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, we need to discuss. We got a planner, and we ought to discuss with Lawrence different things and what their perception is. Because as Joan says, she's not a planner, so.
Well, that's why we hired
her. I'm doing this for her.
We hired some.
Anything else we can?
That's my thought.
Right. Another question.
Mrs. Deaver.
That's my district, and I know the people there, and I think that's a great place to start. You should do it. You've got a lot of planning-type people living there, and it's a great place to start, really. That's what I think. So. Okay.
I've already shared. I would like to review everything, of course, obviously, and we want to, and we need to, and we must be in better communication, better planning, better expectations, so we can serve the people better. I mean, in the end game, that's what we all want, and the question is, how do we get there? And so, for right now, I don't think I have enough information to make any kind of an intelligent decision today. To be honest with you, we just need the information, be able to talk with the folks. Would love the opportunity. I know we talked a little bit about maybe reaching out to the folks up in Middletown, get their perspective, from those guys up there, get their feedback, pluses and minuses, and then, but I agree, we have to continue to move the ball forward. And I did actually have the opportunity to be a part of that meeting in Salisbury, the MPO, between Maryland and Delaware. And I think, again, I think it's a good positive things that we're moving in. And so we appreciate the... better infrastructure is what's needed here in Sussex for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no, great. Thanks.
Thank you for coming down. And certainly the last time you were here, we charged you with coming back with some recommendation. And you've done that. The ball is now in our court.
You've charged us.
Okay.
I think that we need to be a lot more cooperative with each other.
Absolutely.
We've talked more now than the last 6 months than we have in the last 6 years, which is a good thing. But certainly there is need to do something. Every time we walk this room, we hear something about traffic. And if we don't at least make an effort to work with DelDOT and figure this out for the future of this county, then shame on us. So we will talk about this, and we will get an answer back to you sooner versus later.
Great. Appreciate that.
And hopefully we'll continue moving forward and making some progress here. But thank you for coming.
Thank you, Council.
Can I point out one thing?
Mrs. Deaver.
Thank you for the intersection at Plantation and Cedar Grove every day. I thank you. I just have to give you compliments. I thought it was going to be much too complicated, all the federal money that sat in the sidewalks. Oh, no. Yes, it's right, and it's beautiful. Thank you. Good job.
There you go.
Is that the one near your house?
That's his name. We're 26 George Cole Boulevard. We're good to go.
Well, that's the one,
Mr. Lawson.
It's Cedar Neck.
Thank you, Council. Thank you, Ms. Secretary and staff, for your continuing efforts in working with us. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, the next item of business is the introduction of the new Sussex County engineer. And during last week's meeting, the Council moved one step closer to filling